Beth Gibson, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is great to have you tuning in from Melbourne this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Willie. I'm really excited to be chatting to you.
I was reading over your work and you lived in Egypt for a while.
I did. I lived in Egypt as a teenager. So I grew up in Sale for the first 12 years of my life. And then from there, we moved to Egypt as a family, and it was one of the most profound life experiences that I've to date ever gone through.
What took your family there?
Yeah, so my dad was an engineer. So he was transferred with the company that he was working for over there. And we spent about 3.5 years there, and it was amazing. It was amazing. Loved it.
It is very much a different culture and a different way of life. And I wonder, when you reflect on it now as an adult, has it had an impact on your artistic craft?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's not a day that goes past where I don't reflect or remember that part of my life in Egypt. And especially when we grew up in a country town, which was Sale at that time, it was quite small. And then we went to Cairo, which was this crazy populated city and full of colour and desert and all those types of things. So it definitely reflects into my art. I bring those memories into my art all the time.
If I think about what I know of or reflect of Egyptian culture, I think of beautiful jewelry as well. That's almost pieces of art.
Oh, the jewelry. Jewelry. It's beautiful. I mean, I would actually love to even go back. I wish I got some more jewelry when I was there, but they certainly love their gold. I have a few gold pieces, but the jewelry was amazing. Really, really beautiful silver and gold and things like that. And some of it was really beaten down, and so it was quite rustic and raw. And, you know, other pieces were quite refined. And it's such a phenomenal talent in Egypt and in so many facets of what they make. Yeah.
How would you describe your style now as an artist?
Describe my style as I'm an abstract landscape painter. And I know that is a really broad answer, but I guess what I like to do is I go out to my local landscape, which is in the peninsula. And I observe areas of the landscape. I actually have a little secret hiding place where I feel like no one can come and find me. And to get to this spot, you have to kind of climb a few little, you know, some big rocks and things like that. And I take all my pastels down and I really observe the landscape and the formations, and I indulge in the feeling of the landscape, and I immediately draw my interpretation in an abstract sense. And then I take these drawings home and then I rework the shapes that I have taken from the landscape, and I refine them, and then I reconstruct them and put them back together and layer them and move them around, and I continue to make many drawings from the actual original drawings. And so it's just like this amazing processes that I go through. And also, in saying and talking about Egypt before, I bring all the elements of my past landscape with me as well. So it's interesting to see the overlap of past and present. And I guess fundamentally, when I finish making or reconstructing my drawings and I'm happy with one, or I really love one, I then take this into paint, and I do many, many layers to build up really strong, solid, shapes through the paint, and overlap them and blend the colours in certain areas together, and also put some lines and, you know, fine little lines in there as well towards the end of it. As I see, it's like a threading of all my past and present landscapes coming together.
They're very vibrant, rich, coloured pieces that you create. What is it about colour that speaks to you?
I love colour. I absolutely just can't. I'm one person, I've never been afraid of colour, and I like to use colour in its boldness and brightness as much as possible. And I actually really enjoy working with, even though my colours are quite bold and bright, it's really important to me to have a sense of warmth in the colours that I mix. And when it comes to mixing my paints together, I take a long, that's probably one of the longest times I spend in the studios, the mixing of those colours to get them right and to make sure that there's a sense of warmth through all the colours that I use. Because there's something, I don't really love using cool colours. I'm not a Yeah, it makes me feel cold, and yeah. I hate being cold.
Yeah. And so Dad was an engineer. Was the Mum creative?
Yeah, so Mum was always drawing. So I grew up with Mum always, and she was always really interested in drawing, and certainly when we were living in Egypt, she set up a studio for herself there, and we just never saw her. She was just in there drawing and painting and always creating. So I guess that creative part of me has been somewhat genetic. I'm also, and I think my siblings have also shown to be creative little people as well. So,
oh, that's, how many siblings have you got?
I've got three.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're all creative in our own little ways. But I guess I took onto it from a really young age. I started drawing from a really young age, and it was probably the only thing that I was really good at. I was terrible at everything else at school.
Well, that's, you've got to have something that's your own, right? Like,
oh, of course.
And with your children, because you have four, do you see creativity coming through in any of them?
Yes, I do. It's really nice to see. I think they're all creative in their different ways. My youngest really loves craft and glue and sticky tape and things like that. My third one, she actually started to use oils for the first time. She's 10 years old, and during this isolation time, I said, come on, come into the studio with me and we'll use some oil paint. And so she painted this beautiful still life, which has got flowers and a vase and things like that. And she worked over it for a few weeks and built up the layers and colours and things like that. She's quite creative. And then, of course, my other two, they're creative in their own ways, I guess. It comes out through, whether it's through writing or, it has its way of creeping out of them.
Were your parents quite nurturing of your creative side?
I think they were to a certain extent. Well, they had to be, because I am actually dyslexic, and so I really struggled in anything to do with writing or, academically. I just was one of those students that didn't do that well. And so the moment I kind of found my love of art, and I was really good at it from a really young age, and my parents were like, yes, she's actually good at something. And they went with it. Well, they had no other. They were like, yes, Beth, and it was my moment, I guess. I found my love affair with art, and they had to go with it. They were amazing support through that really early journey of me finding, what I was passionate about.
That's amazing, because you teach now as well. I mean, because you've gone on to study quite extensively and you teach as well. Do you enjoy that process?
I love it. I didn't think I'd love it as much as I love it, but I really love it. And essentially, being an artist in the studio, and because I work at home, it's a really solo world. And I also love the fact that I can give back to, I guess, students in a way that I have, my passion, and I know how to kind of give them some type of love with art and skills, etc. And so it's a really nice way for me to give back and enjoy those relationships that I develop with teacher and student. And it's a nice break from the studio because, yeah, as I said, it's really solo in there and you have no one to talk to but yourself all day. So
are you painting at home? It's a home studio?
Yes, it is. Yep, it's at the back of the house and it's a home studio. It's a small studio. It's not big and I do have visions of this big, amazing studio one day, but I'll get there.
Because your pieces are quite big as well, though.
They are. So as soon as I finish pieces, they've got to move out around the house. So that before an exhibition, my pieces are literally all through my house, like in front of, through the lounge rooms, and they're just everywhere. I really get nervous with kids when they start running around the house. I'm like, stop running.
Yeah, you're like, there's my year's work. Just this, please do not knock it, children.
No, I know, no, I couldn't think, no, I don't want that to happen.
Can you remember the first piece of artwork that you saw that really spoke to you?
I have probably got so many, but I have to say it probably wasn't such an art piece. It was more a book, and it was a Mark Rothko book that I discovered in the art section of the library at RMIT when I was doing my painting. And it was his entire collection of all his works on canvas. And I remember, and I still today just, they take me places. His work just speaks to me.
What kind of style is he?
So he's an abstract artist, and he does these beautiful, big, colour-filled paintings that kind of, well, for me, they really suck me into them, and I feel really, I almost feel like I want to enter them in a way. And he uses really beautiful colours, and yeah, they're just really beautiful paintings. I actually remember seeing one of his paintings a few years ago at the National Gallery of Victoria when they had the abstract exhibition happening there. And I didn't actually know that one of his works was going to be part of this exhibition. And I walked into the room and I felt such a wave of emotion when I saw his work. I felt sad, I felt in awe. But it was all this real mix of emotion when I saw one of his works in life. Yeah, so he's one artist that really I take with me all the time.
That must have been a really special moment.
It was amazing, and I didn't want to separate myself from the painting, but I knew I had to move on. Anyway, otherwise I would have had the security guards on me. But
they'd be like, Beth, please step back. Please step
back. I know. Well, I did actually have one security guard come over and have a chat to me because she knew I was just there in front of it for so long. So we had a really good conversation about Mark Rothko and all the other artists a part of the exhibition, which was really great.
Do you remember the first piece you sold?
I do. It was actually my final painting that I did in year 12 for my FCE. And the boy that I was seeing at the time, his mother had a cafe and she had one big wall that had nothing on it. And I said, oh, can I put my artwork in there? And she was happy with that. And then within a week it sold. So I was really wrapped, but even though I would hate to think of what it looks like now because I use student acrylic and, But I got a lot of money for it. I think on memory, I sold it for about $1,000, which was like...
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that amazing? So I must have, I think that went to a ticket to go overseas to Asia.
Oh, well spent.
Yeah, it was great.
When did you start calling yourself an artist?
Gee, I guess the artist, the ist on the end of the artist, I only during times when I'm making art, I guess. There was a moment when I was having my children that I wasn't able to do any painting or anything like that. And I felt like I couldn't call myself an artist during that time because I wasn't in the process of actually making anything. And so my understanding of calling yourself something is you've got to be making that. And so certainly now that I'm painting, you know, most of my time, and I can call myself an artist because that's what I do. That's who I am. If that kind of makes sense, does that?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. For you, it sounds like it's a very exactly what you just said. When you are in the work and when you are creating, you feel comfortable and confident to call yourself an artist because, yes, you are creating art.
Yes.
But in those times where you've had to step away or disconnect from creation of art to creation of other things, aka small children, yeah. You know, you haven't felt that the title or the role was a comfortable fit then.
Yeah, exactly. And because I also think my role while I had children was the mother. Like I did put my art on the back seat for a while. And I was happy with that because that's just what I had to do. But the moment I was able to have the time then to paint again, I was comfortable then with calling myself an artist.
And how was it coming back into working in art after time away from it?
It was amazing. I loved it. I dropped my youngest one at prep and I was so excited to get home to have a full day pretty much of painting. I know there was no tears, all the other mothers were crying and I was like, yes, freedom. And I was hungry for it and I still am hungry for it. I have got a lot of time to make up for it. So I was so happy to have that time again. It was great.
That is so good because you've also you've had four children, so it sounds like you gave a lot of time to that process and stage of life, and it's almost like you were reinvigorated coming back to the canvas.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was either pregnant or breastfeeding in those stages. I never had any moment to myself. And I certainly was really tired as well. And I had no physical or mental energy left to be able to even think about really painting. So certainly going back to it was so, amazing. What an amazing feeling. It feels really good.
And what do you do to get out of a creative funk?
Oh, the creative funk. Ooh. Oh, I draw. I actually draw. If I get a little bit lost or a little bit stuck on something, I draw. Yep, definitely. I go and start drawing or I go to my secret hiding place.
This is hilarious. I mean, I don't want people to come and find you in your secret hiding space. But if you were ever down on the Victorian coast and you see a woman with a big beaming smile on her face and she's perched up in some rocks somewhere with some pastels and some paper, you know, you found
Beth. That's right, that's me.
Oh, how do you know when a piece is done?
God, that's such a good question. So, oh, I know when I can step back from it. And I know the colours are correct, but my colours have to be correct, even if sometimes I can get my colours wrong, even if they're like a shade a little bit too dark or a little bit too light or whatever it is, there's something that's not quite right with them. So the colours need to be really correct. And also when I do my blending with the oils, I have to step back from that process of and my eyes have to kind of glaze over the painting and I have to have that sense of calmness when I look at my work, even though it's really bright and bold, but that element of blending edges together in my painting has to give me a sense of calmness and the colours need to speak correctly to me and to each other. So if that all comes together, then I know I've finished. And that usually takes about 4 to 5 layers. I do many, many layers, which is great.
And how many weeks is that to get a piece done?
It's a, yeah, oh, because I work in oils, there's a bit of drying time involved. But, I mean, each layer of my work would take a couple of days. So it's actually, and that's why I love working with oils, because I love the paint to be open. So when I go back to it the next day, I can continue to move that paint around a bit. It's not dry. And I guess a month to 2 months for a piece. Sometimes I'm lucky if I can pull it off in a month, but some pieces are harder than the others, and especially the big ones, they take a long time because it's almost a marathon when I do a layer. I have to really, it's like get, set, go type thing, and they take me days to do a layer, and it's physically, just physically exhausting when you're finished, which I love. I love that element of not being able to feel my feet as well as my eyesight is completely gone at the end of it.
And out of interest, do you listen to music or anything when you're painting, or do you just enjoy the silence?
Oh, I can't stand the silence. No, music. Absolutely music. I listen to all sorts. I can listen to classical if I'm feeling in the mood. Also, I love like your classics. Yeah, I'm a big listener of music during the art process, and I have it very loud in my studio. Yeah, it's lots of fun. And sometimes if it's really loud and the kids are home, they come in and do some dancing and we all start dancing together.
Oh, sweet.
While I'm painting. So much fun. And we sing. Yeah.
Who would you say is your biggest fan?
My husband. Absolutely. Yes. And my children. Yes. They're my biggest fans.
And who's your biggest critic?
Me, I guess. It would have to be me, but as my husband as well, because he knows how to push me in ways, yeah, that no one else does. And sometimes when I do feel like I perhaps have finished a piece, and I show him, he's like, no, it's not done, Beth.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, don't say that. Really? Why? And he's like, oh, he goes, I know you and this is not done. And he gets it right every time. And so I'm like, oh, okay, all right, I'll keep going. And I do keep going. And, of course, every time it turns out that the painting is much more finished after that, you know, next couple of layers when he pushes me. Mm.
Yeah, that's really fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It's good, but it's also really annoying.
Yeah. I know, right? Particularly from your loved ones. It's funny. Sometimes it's either, sometimes it's a parent and sometimes it's a partner is the critic, and it's the, oh, God, yes, you know, lucky I love you so much, but yes, you're right.
I know. I don't love him in those moments, though. I actually really don't like him at all. I'm like, no.
Who's the artist here, exactly. Right? So who's the artist?
Exactly. And I'm like, and what would you know? So, but I know because that voice is at the back of my head then. I'm like, oh, okay, all right, maybe he's right. So, yeah, and then I push myself a bit further, and it always works out for the better.
Where would you like to see your work in a couple of years' time?
Oh, my God, whoa. Oh, I don't know. I haven't really even thought about that. I should start thinking about that. I guess I would like to see it in galleries around Australia. I'd love to have an exhibition in other cities around Australia. Where else would I love to go overseas? Oh my God, that would be amazing. New York, perhaps somewhere. Oh, where else would I like to go? Oh, definitely New York would be on the list. Yeah. In the arts world, New York is like the pinnacle, isn't it? Really? It's like, whoa.
I know. It's funny. That's only just really kind of dawning on me, right? And what is it? Is it just the sheer size that there's such a mass of people there, that within that mass of people there is a core that love art, and that core number of people that really love and appreciate art just happens to be bigger than any other cause around the world. I don't know. Why do you think it is?
I think it's just what you said. I think that there's the population, it's got that reputation of art and being an art city, and there is so many artists in New York, and certainly there's heaps of artists around the world, and, you know, London and many other amazing cities, but New York definitely has that reputation the population and the quality of the work, and just a, such a massive celebration of the arts would be amazing. So, yeah, I guess around internationally, the celebration of the arts, the history of the arts,
much more established.
Much more established, yeah.
Than where we're at right now. Beth, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's been really lovely chatting with you.
Oh, it's been great. Thank you so much for having me, Willie. It's been fantastic.